Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. We're live. Hope you're well today. Glad to have you with us here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective for the next hour. Let's jump right in. It's game day for New Albany Little League. They play shortly after we sign off at noon. They'll play at 2 o'clock today. Big, big game. They play Michigan, who will by far be their toughest opponent yet. Of course, New Albany 2-0 as they've advanced through bracket play, double elimination bracket play, I should say, so far. Michigan, very good. They won it a year ago. I don't know that there's many holdovers from that team, but still a very good little league coming out of Grosse Pointe Shore, Michigan, and will be a tough game for New Albany. If they win, they're straight to the championship game on Saturday. You've got Thursday, Friday, and throughout the day Saturday to rest. You've got time to get your pitching back and restored. Big, big game today if New Albany can pull it off. If they can't, they'll have to go to the bottom side of the bracket, and it's very likely, knowing what we know about Kentucky, of course Indiana beat them, also about the team they beat in the second game, which was New Albany, Ohio, and Wisconsin and Illinois aren't very strong. In fact, Illinois has already been eliminated. Very likely that even if New Albany doesn't win today, they'd have a shot to get back to the one-game championship game. At that point, it doesn't matter if Michigan or whoever is undefeated. It's a one-game and out deal for the championship. So big stuff on the line today. Still an opportunity regardless, I think, for New Albany to play in that final game with a trip to Williamsport on the line. And great to see the community abuzz about it. We'll talk some about it here coming up and remind you about the game today throughout the show. But very, very neat stuff for these kids. Very, very neat stuff for New Albany Little League. Awesome for the area. Very strong in Little League, as we've discussed. And it's just really fun to see them on ESPN platform of stations. And they're going to get to play on ESPN. That will happen in their next game, whether it's the Saturday championship game or whether they have to drop to the lower side of the bracket and play through. They'll get a chance to actually play on ESPN 1 or ESPN 2. There's been Little League games on all week. It's something that I don't spend a whole bunch of attention watching, but it's nice to have on in the background, and just always interesting storylines that go along with it. So best of luck to New Albany Little League today. In fact, while we're on that subject, the manager of the New Albany Little League team, Brian Jackson, he's going to join us no matter what happens today in the game. He's going to join us Thursday on the program for an update. Those guys have been together all week, sequestered together. Used to be in the Little League compound. Now that they sold their facility and are in the process of trying to figure out where they're going to build the next one, they keep them, all the teams, all the coaches, in the same hotel together, basically a hotel exclusively for Little League this week. And activities for them when they're not playing. I saw some pictures of them doing schoolwork. A lot of these kids obviously started back to school and have missed a lot of school so far. But good luck to them. Big game today. Should be a lot of fun. Don't forget it'll be on at Hoopsters. That's where we're going to watch it at later this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Wednesday show, we have coming up in segment number two, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. A little recruiting stuff to talk about with Jeff. Also, we'll look ahead to some things for the upcoming season. There were a couple announcements, nothing earth-shattering at all, to help fill in some remaining holes in the non-conference schedule yesterday. I'll tell you about those opponents and when and where they will be. So the schedule getting close, that will come up with Jeff, I'm sure, and other IU basketball topics. So Jeff Rabjohns with us in segment two today. Segment three, we will have Greg Mengelt. He will be en route to the Little League game today up in Indianapolis, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, and we'll talk some Little League with him. We'll talk some other Southern Indiana headlines, as we do each and every Wednesday with Greg Mingelt of the News and Tribune sports team. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, a shout-out for tonight. Don't forget our Zaxby's High School football kickoff show. I'm going to remind you about it every segment today. It will be a lot of fun. We are going to have all the coaches from the area, Clark and Floyd counties, with us tonight in a two-hour period. Also, we'll have a lot of the top football players with us from the area today as well. So make sure that you're joining us tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. You got a couple options. We'd love to have you with us at Zaxby's in New Albany. Come, you can try. They have a new chicken sandwich. You can try it. You can order dinner and listen to us talk with all the coaches. We'll learn a whole bunch tonight about the upcoming football season. Then, if you can't make it, we'll be live on the Big X. You can listen on the radio. You can stream us online. Get us on the TuneIn app. A lot of ways to listen in live. If you miss all that and you want to catch a podcast of it, I promise we'll have it up later tonight for you. You can go back and listen to your favorite team or listen to the entire thing on demand and get the information you're looking for the upcoming high school football season. Zaxby's in New Albany. It's located at 2870 Technology Avenue in New Albany. I just talked with Jerry Ayers, the owner of a lot of the area Zaxby's. Very excited about having everybody in tonight, and we're looking forward to getting out there later today and setting things up. We'll start at 7 o'clock. Lee Kelly will join me. We'll have an overview of the area. We'll take a look ahead to week one games. Then at 7:09, we'll start with Jeffersonville, 7:23 tonight. We'll hear from Steve Cooley, the New Albany coach, and some of his players. 7:37, new Floyd Central coach James Bragg will be in the house at Zaxby's, and we'll be talking Highlander football with him and some Highlander players. 7:51, the coach of Silver Creek, John Dablow, he'll join us, and along with some of his senior players, I know are coming with him. 8:05, Charlestown coach Jason Hawkins will be talking with him. 8:19, Clarksville coach Justin Bowser will join us. Also, 8:33 tonight, Providence coach Larry Dennison will wrap things up at 8:47 with an interview with Rock Creek coach Jason Rottenberger. And, of course, big year for Rock Creek. It's the first year that they are eligible for the IHSA football tournament. So they have obviously a new program in the area. They've worked their way through building the program through the lower levels, the JV level, and now they are ready to take on a full varsity schedule that ends with the opportunity to compete in a 1A sectional. So we'll have all of that and more tonight. Those coaches, a lot of players, it will be fun, and we hope you'll join us from 7 to 9 p.m. at Zaxby's in New Albany for the high school football kickoff show celebrating the start of the 2018 football season here in Southern Indiana. Scrimmages this Friday, so we'll be talking with the coaches about maybe their final preparations for the scrimmages. Week one games, it all kicks off a week from Friday, and some of these guys come out right out of the gate with tough opponents. Some of these guys come out right out of the gate with rivals. So it'll be a good time not only to learn about their teams in general, but to kind of talk about the first week of the season, which is here. It'll be here in a week and a half. We're counting the days down now, football season and high school sports for 2018-19, getting ready to officially, in my book at least, get underway with the start of the high school football season. Hope to see you tonight. We'll remind you more about it throughout the program tonight. Will be a lot of fun, and if you can't make it, make sure you tune us on the Big X Sports Radio. Okay, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A handful of things to get to. Anthony Harris, he is a player of interest for Indiana, and he announced that he is going to take visits, official visits, four of them. He announced Virginia Tech, Wake Forest. Miami is also going to be an official visit for him. And UConn, he's got one left. Now, Indiana is involved with him. I don't know that they rank as high and on each other's list, perhaps, as what maybe some of the other more local players do. But Anthony Harris with four big visits set, one open. We'll see if he adds Indiana or add someone else. Effectively, if you don't take an official visit there, it's really odd that you would end up going to the school. So will be interesting to see who gets that fifth spot and if Indiana does or not. He's a player that they've been recruiting for some time and have really stepped it up in the month of July. So he announces his officials. Indiana, not one of them yet. We'll see if they get the last spot. A couple high school commitments in the area. Floyd Central baseball senior Adam Spaulding. He announced earlier this week that he will play college baseball across the river for Larry Owens. He's a Jeffersonville native and will play Division II baseball at that very good school and that very strong conference for Division II baseball. Also, another Division I commit for Providence Volleyball. It's really amazing the success that Coach Parika and the program and the team have had. It's also amazing the number of players that they have had go on to play college volleyball, specifically Division I volleyball. And yesterday, Lily Bivens announced that she has verbally committed to Nicholls State. So that adds on with a Louisville commit and obviously a Purdue commit for three Division I commitments at this point for the Providence volleyball program. They continue to be strong and dominant, and I think they're set for another very good year here in volleyball, which is, by the way, getting ready to, as football begins, it's getting ready to officially get underway as well. A couple additions to the IU basketball schedule for the upcoming season, and these, none of these were announced by Indiana, by the way. These were both announced when other schools released their schedule. First, yesterday, Texas Arlington announced when it released its schedule that they will play at Assembly Hall on November 20th. Another announcement from Chicago State. November 6th, they are going to open their regular season, at least, at Assembly Hall on November 6th. So a number of games known. I think we're getting really, really close to knowing, basically, the non-conference schedule. Some games that stand out: November 11th, Marquette plays at Indiana. That's part of the Gavitt games. November 18th, this is a game that's been more recently announced, Indiana at Arkansas. November 27th at Duke, a big part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. December 8th, Louisville plays at Indiana. December 15th, that's against Butler in the Crossroads Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So we know a lot of the non-conference schedules. Some of these lower-level opponents, we're piecing them in to kind of figure out basically the full thing. But I would have to believe, more and more schools announcing their schedules, I would have to believe that we're getting a lot closer to Indiana officially releasing the schedule for the upcoming season. So that should be, I would think, forthcoming very soon. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, which means you can buy three or six traditional or boneless wings. And when you buy those three or six, you'll get three or six free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville every Wednesday. Perfect situation for today with New Albany Little League playing on ESPN+. You can't get the game on TV unless you buy the app and have a smart TV and all those sort of things. It can be too complicated. So just make it easy. At 2 o'clock today, go get three or six wings and get three or six free and watch New Albany Little League in a big, big game against Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Again, 2 o'clock, the first pitch. We talked about that game some to start the program. So fun to follow these local kids, and we'll have first pitch, or they'll have first pitch, I should say, at 2 o'clock. So join us there to watch the game. It will be a lot of fun. Also, we'll have the New Albany coach tomorrow. I'll mention that, Brian Jackson. He'll be with us Wednesday on the program. We'll find out what the team has been up to all week, and hopefully we'll be talking to the manager of a New Albany Little League team that is headed to the championship game on Saturday. If not, they'll be playing later on Thursday, perhaps again on Friday, trying to work their way back to that championship game. But we'll see what happens, and good luck to New Albany. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on this Wednesday edition of the program. With Jeff, we're going to talk recruiting, we're going to talk schedule for next year, and more. Stay with us for all of that here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back here on this Wednesday edition of the program. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with me for our weekly chat on IU basketball and more. And Jeff, we're a little removed from July now, so I'm going to hope that you've had some time to relax, rest, and recharge for the upcoming fall months after a hectic schedule of July. I think you were on the road as much as Archie Miller was, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I feel good now. Definitely, I mean, you know how much I enjoy July. So it was a lot of fun. It was 21 days on the road, it's kind of par for the course in July, really. But back home and rested, recharged, and ready to roll.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, our guest. Want to start with some recruiting. I want to end or at least get to some schedule stuff for the IU team for this upcoming season. You know, there's so much talk about Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks in the 2019 class, and it makes a lot of sense because obviously they're both Indiana guys from the Hoosier State. They both have been very talented high school basketball players and had some success at the high school level for a number of years now. There's plenty of reason for them to dominate the discussion. You're going to start with an inside-out approach. That's exactly what Coach Miller told us when he was hired. With that being said, it's very clear those two guys are at the top of Indiana's recruiting priorities. I'm curious, now that we're through the month of July, now that we've had a chance to see where Archie and the coaches have been at all month, whose games they attended most, and other chatter that you may have been able to pick up while you were on the road, how do you prioritize the 2019 class below Jackson Davis and below Brooks?
Well, I think below Trace Jackson Davis, below Keon Brooks, kind of what you have are two groups. There's a group of sort of what I would call other front court players, other front court options, because, you know, there's a chance this class is four players. And they had some connections with some, you know, pretty notable other 2019 front court players. And then there's just kind of what I look at and say, okay, the guard group. And the guard group's kind of interesting. The other forwards, you know, if you kind of want to go through those, I would put Trace Keon at the top. I would probably put Zeke Nagy from D1 Minnesota in there as well. Now, he's kind of gotten a little more national attention. He went from unknown to national top 30 over the course of the spring and the summer. 6'10", really bouncy. He was phenomenal up in Chicago when we got a chance to watch him for four games over the Memorial Day weekend. And then you have some other guys like Isaiah Stewart, five-star center from Lalamere, who's already been on campus once and, you know, is closing in on the top five here, probably in the reasonable near future, reasonable relative to teenagers timing. Trenton Watford still on that list. And then certainly Matthew Hurt, the five-star forward out of Minnesota is on that as well. And then you kind of have a guard group. The guard group, you've got, you know, James Booknight from out in Massachusetts, plays for the PSA Cardinals, same AAU team as Thomas Bryant and Jake Forrester. You've got Anthony Harris from Team Takeover, Victor Oladipo's team. He has announced four of the schools he's going to visit, hasn't announced the fifth because he's deciding between Indiana and another school, but people close to him have been telling people for a long time, look, it's going to be Indiana as the fifth official. So he's certainly a guy to look at. And then you've got some other guys on there, in-state guys that I think people know a little bit better. Brandon Newman, previously played up at Valparaiso. He's going to go to Mount Verde in Florida as a prep school for his senior year. And then Armand Franklin from Indianapolis Cathedral, who has said that, you know, he's already come out with his top three of Indiana, Purdue, and Xavier. He's already got dates for Indiana and Purdue officials. Indiana goes first, Purdue second. And then if he does it, Xavier will be third. And then there's some guys sort of like I would say are, you know, people I use, watched a lot, talked to a lot, but haven't really committed to visiting IU. Jameis Ramsey, who's going to go to Oak Hill this year. He's from Texas, played IMG down in Florida last year. Big physical guy, national top 40 type prospect. You know, IU watched him a lot, talked to him a lot. but he hasn't committed to making a visit, so he's sort of like on a different radar. And then you got a couple other guys, Harlan Beverly, combo guard out of Michigan, excuse me. And then to some degree, you have Trey Mann, the five-star point guard from down in Florida. And the reason I say to some degree is, you know, North Carolina was a school that always really intrigued him. They just offered, in my opinion, that's a game changer for him. But people close to him still tell me, hey, you know, he may go visit Indiana. Don't scratch him off just yet. So I mention him as a guy, you know, he's still on the list. I think it's a long shot for Indiana. But, you know, just in case he does visit, you know, just want to let people know he is on the list. He would be coming out of nowhere. So that's kind of right now, that's kind of how I break down the 2019 guys outside of the two guys at the top. Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks.
I want to ask you, one of the recruiting experts that we do have, Armand Franklin, cut his list to three, Indiana, Purdue, Xavier. A lot of thought, or at least the thought I think was out there, you can tell me if it still is or not, that Xavier, who has really historically recruited him very hard from the start of his recruitment, maybe was the team to beat. Your thoughts on, because his name I think is meaning a lot more to Indiana fans here recently. It's popped to the forefront, a guard as a potential need in that class. Do you think Xavier the school to beat for him, or has that maybe changed a little bit?
No, I think that's definitely changed. I think Purdue's a team to beat going into the three official visits. And I think a reasonable part of that is he's really close with Isaiah Thompson, the point guard from Zionsville, who's committed to Purdue, and Mason Gillis, the forward from Newcastle, who's committed to Purdue. And he just kind of, you know, he just has a really good vibe with those two guys, and he's got a really good vibe with some of the other Purdue players. So I would put the order as Purdue 1, and I would actually put Indiana 2 and Xavier 3rd at this point. And that's not that Xavier's necessarily done anything wrong in any way, but they had him on campus a lot. And then, you know, it was didn't commit, wanted to wait, didn't commit, wanted to take other visits. And I think both sides kind of are like, okay, you know, do we fit together or not? Now, that's not to say at the end of the day he might not still pick Xavier, because he might. We're talking about a top three here. We're not talking about a top 15. So he very well could pick any one of three. But if you ask me the old gun-to-head question, I would say right now it's 1 Purdue, 2 Indiana, 3 Xavier.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, starting our chat today with some recruiting talk. Of course, Jeff is fresh off the road from a busy, busy month of July. As far as recruiting goes in general, now's the time where maybe you see some visits set. I know we've seen a number of officials for Indiana and other places, obviously, have been coming across. You see a lot of lists trimmed down a little bit. Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin, the most recent two guys from an IU perspective to do that process. Get it gearing up for the season, gearing up for Hoosier Hysteria. Do you expect any young guys on campus maybe between now and Hoosier Hysteria to kind of get a little more serious with some of those players that Indiana and the coaches watched over the month?
Yeah, I definitely do. I certainly think there's and again, none of this is set in stone when you're talking about kids coming out of their high school freshman year. But, you know, there are a number of guys that they're trying to get on campus. Certainly Caleb Jones, national top 40 prospect out of St. Louis, a big-time point guard. Caleb Love, I meant to say. I think they're going to try to get him on campus. And talking to his dad, it sounds like they're going to try to do that. And I think Christian Lander, the outstanding class of 2021 point guard out of Evansville, you know, he's another guy that you're looking at maybe making a visit to Indiana prior to Hoosier Hysteria as far as young guys. I think there's a couple other young guys in the 2021 class who may take visits prior to Hoosier Hysteria. You know, there's a couple of 2020 guards out of Chicago who are talking about kind of doing a little, I guess you'd call it Big Ten footprint type swing, maybe on a weekend. I guess that's sort of in the planning stages. So I would say that's much more of a let's wait and see what really gets decided kind of thing. But DJ Stewart and Tyler Beard are talking about it. But again, I don't even know if I'd write that in pencil just yet. But I think there's going to be a number of guys that they try to get on campus prior to Hoosier Hysteria. And then obviously, with Hoosier Hysteria, Trace and Keon doing the official visits. And I also expect a very good number of other players to be at that event.
Jeff Rapp, JohnsPeaks.com, my guest. Want to transition into some things for the upcoming season. Talk about the schedule. There were some new additions to it yesterday. But now that the summer workouts are basically over for the team, I think a lot of the team has actually went home before school restarts. You know, the number one question I get is, hey, do you hear anything on Romeo Langford? I think everybody expects him to play a big role next year. But it's just one of those things. You're transitioning from high school to college basketball. A lot changes, you know, away from basketball with that transition. And I think everybody has very, very high expectations, but they're waiting for some reassurance and they're waiting for some maybe some leaks to come out about, you know, he did this or he did that. So you're the guy that may hear some things that others don't. Now that the workouts are basically over for the summer, what is the general word out there? Have you been able to pick anything up on our boy Romeo?
Yeah, definitely. And I certainly understand people's heightened anticipation because it's getting to the point in time, okay, you're going to see him on the court playing, and this is what people have been waiting for. A couple of things from his summer that I think really stood out. He walked in the door and was unbelievably competitive. And I mean that in terms of Archie Miller has certain drills that he does where there's actually, you know, somebody wins, somebody's second, somebody's third, et cetera. And Romeo really went in there and competed to try to win some of those drills and actually did win some. Now, he didn't win them all because these other guys are sophomores, juniors, seniors in college. And even when you are as good as Romeo is, you're not going to walk in the door and win all of them. But he was very, very competitive. He was relentless. Another thing that really stood out is he was very fully engaged on defensive stuff. Now, they've still got a ways to go as far as teaching some specifics on the defense because you don't get a lot of five-on-five teaching during the summer. It's more on individuals. It's more drills. It's more concepts. It's more the language, terminology, and all that. But when there were times, Romeo did a really good job, and I'm not going to fall out of my chair if his length and quickness and foot speed allow him to have some notable defensive moments this season. Another thing is his shooting, while good, you know, still needs to keep ticking upward. There's nothing wrong with it, but still needs to probably keep ticking upward. You know, he wasn't the top guy in many of the long-range shooting drills. But then again, you had guys like, you know, Evan Fitzner, Demezi Anderson, Jerome Hunter, and some others who really had some pretty ridiculous numbers in some of the time drills. So Romeo was good at that, but, you know, still needs to keep working. But again, it's August. Nobody has any concern there. And then the other thing was just how much he and all the freshmen just wanted to really work. And that includes basketball work as well as work on their bodies. Just to give you an example, there was one day when the freshmen went to Cliff Marshall, the director of player performance, what you used to call strength and conditioning coach, and said, hey, you know, we're off today, but is it okay if we come in, can you run us through that stretching routine? And Cliff was like, yeah, sure. If you want to do it, let's do it. And that stretching routine is not, that doesn't mean stretching out to go play. It's a stretching routine that is designed to increase body flexibility, core, lower, and upper. So, you know, it's an actual workout. It's a thing. And, you know, that freshman group, you know, walked in and said, you know, hey, will you help us do this even though it's our off day? Can we come in? So I think Romeo and the freshmen had a really good attitude as far as let's do everything we can, not just do what is asked, to try to really make this summer very, very beneficial. And I think that's another thing that really stood out to the coaches.
I would say that Jim Shannon at New Albany, others that were around Romeo throughout his high school career would not flinch at all about that answer, because I'm That's how he was at New Albany, and that's how I've known him to be, to get ahead, to do the work, even maybe more that's asked of you, to be the leader that doesn't maybe always say a lot, but is the one in the gym taking shots and dribbling with a weighted ball and doing some of the things that almost really became a routine for him, I think, at New Albany to extend his practices and his workouts. So interesting there.
Sure.
Again, so many people, as you can imagine, and as you get asked, Jeff, are just really curious and excited to see. I think everybody knows he's going to make a big difference. Everybody knows he's going to fit in a big way. It's just a matter of how much, how soon, and exactly how he will fit in, how he will lift this team up to the next level. So interesting stuff. Great stuff there.
Thanks. And the other thing, just for people to keep in mind, I see some people talking about his minute projection and saying, oh, 35 to 38, you know, something like that. I do get the vibe Archie Miller doesn't want to wear guys out early in the season. I don't think we're going to be seeing 35, 38 minutes a game out of Romeo Langford, especially early in the season. One, Archie doesn't want to wear guys out just to wear guys out. Two, you know, it's a deep team. And three, you know, each minute of major college basketball is different than each minute of high school basketball. It's a different level of intensity. You really have to be unbelievably focused and unbelievably engaged on both ends of the floor every second. And that's not to say kids don't try in high school. It's just a different level of intensity mentally and physically. And to think that a freshman is going to walk in the door somewhere and play 35 to 38 minutes right out of the gate, I think that's really, really, you know, that's asking a lot. So I think people should just keep in mind that, you know, not everybody jumps in the door and plays all but a few minutes of a Division I college basketball game, especially at the major college level. So, you know, he's going to play a lot. He's going to be a big part of it, depending upon how things go with Juwan Morgan as far as what kind of defensive attention Juwan gets. You know, Romeo is going to be, you would certainly think, first or second as far as scoring. But I think the minutes are going to be under 35 per game, and maybe a little more than people think, under 35, at least from the jump. And then as things get, you know, more serious, as you get into Big Ten, you might see minutes creep up. And sure, again, some of the really easy games, you know, maybe Romeo's really got it rolling and you let him just ride one just to really get it, you know, get a good feel. But, you know, I think the minutes are going to be a little more closer to 30 than 35 to 38 early on.
Interesting. Jeff Rapp, JohnsPeaks.com. A lot of good stuff there on Romeo Langford here in the off season as we draw really to the close of summer workouts and the players getting, I guess, let's talk generally about players now for a second. They're getting a little bit of a break now. Is that correct? Summer workouts are over. I think most of them, if not all of them, are at back at home, enjoying probably their final breath of fresh air before they report back for school and, of course, for basketball that will be slowly gearing up here over the next few months.
Yeah, I think this is the good time. I think this is the time of year that players really get recharged because you're right. So the summer stuff is done. That's completed. That's all over with. And players get, depending upon, you know, when they decide to go home, a few travel, things like that. They get 10, 12 days, something like that, ballparking it. So they actually get some time to go home. Their summer schooling, their summer classes, that's all complete. So this is really a time when a lot of coaches say, okay, you guys did a good job over the summer. Go home. Relax. You need to recharge. A big stretch is coming. Don't try to be all macho and, oh, you know, I'm going to lift five times a week and I'm going to get up, you know, 1,500 shots a day and I'm going to be in the gym, you know, before breakfast, after lunch, and at night. No. A lot of coaches will tell kids, you know, go hang out with your family, your friends, your girl, go to the water park, do whatever it is you do, but just hang out, chill, get a breath, get a mental breath and a physical breath. So that's basically what's happening right now. They'll come back here in around a week, most of them. Again, depending upon travel, it's a little staggered here and there. They'll get on campus. They'll get everything going with the fall semester. And then the fall program will start. And then obviously As you get closer to the season, then actual practice will begin.
Jeff Rabjohn, Spiegs.com. Final question. Known opponents, we really got a great, great part of the non-conference schedule, I think, in tow now. Yesterday, Chicago State and Texas Arlington both announcing their schedules and that they will play at Assembly Hall. So that's two more games. Obviously, those two are not the bigger games of, as far as the most importance and great matchups and challenges for this Indiana program. But we've got to get pretty close. Got to be pretty close to having a complete schedule for 2018-19, don't we?
Yeah, it's, we now know all but one, maybe two opponents. I got the list updated, and the non-conference opponents now: Chicago State, Marquette, which is the Gavitt Games, at Arkansas, the new Hardwood Classic, at Duke, Big Ten ACC Challenge, Louisville at Indiana, that's the series that IU started a couple years ago, and then versus Butler, Crossroads Classic. So those are the big ones, in addition to mentioning Chicago State as the opener, not calling them a big one. And then you also have non-conference games against Texas Arlington, Jacksonville, Montana State, and UC Davis. So we know a huge percentage of the schedule. And then the Big Ten schedule, the home and homes are Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Purdue, and Rutgers. The games they play only at home: Nebraska, Ohio State, Wisconsin. The teams, the Big Ten teams that Indiana plays only on the road: Maryland, Minnesota, and Penn State. So right there, you're looking at all but one or two games for IU's 2018-19 basketball season. And the big thing that jumps out to me is that's a high number of fellow high major teams that Indiana's going to play prior to January. Marquette, Arkansas, Duke, Louisville, Butler. For a team that's going to have some young guys, that's pretty stout prior to January 1.
Jeff Rabjohn, Spiegs.com. Great stuff today on IU basketball, recruiting Romeo Langford, and the schedule for next season. Always enjoy our chats. Very informative. And, Jeff, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
Matt, I appreciate it. By the way, you still got to get up here. We still got to get to St. Elmo's, my friend. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. Off-season may be a good time to do it. I can taste the cocktail sauce and some shrimp right now.
There you go, my friend. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff Rabjohn, Spiegs.com. Always great stuff when Jeff comes on. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of the season with March Madness around the corner or the middle of August with Hoosier Hysteria, the next big event up. He's got good stuff for us every time he is with us on the show. Don't forget Zaxby's Kickoff Show. Tonight we'll celebrate the start of the 2018 Southern Indiana football season. Wednesday, 7 to 9, live at Zaxby's in New Albany, which is located at 2870 Technology Avenue in New Albany. Hope you can be there with us, have dinner, enjoy all the coaches and players. If you can't, make sure that you tune in to us on the Big X. We'll be back with more, including a chat on New Albany Little League and other Southern Indiana headlines with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Wednesday show. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is my guest. Greg, I believe, is en route to Westfield, Indiana, Grand Park, the location of the Great Lakes Regional. Greg, the community, as you're well aware of, is abuzz about this New Albany team. Not only did they make the Great Lakes Regional, but they're 2-0. They're headed into a huge game today against the Michigan State champion, who is very talented as well. And I think we'll see a really good game and a really big challenge for this New Albany team later this afternoon.
Yeah, not only are they 2-0, but the two teams that they beat have won games after New Albany beat them. So those have proven to be really good wins against really good teams in Ohio and Kentucky, who are still in that Michigan was the favorite. It's hard to tell a lot of times with Little League when you start looking at history and state finals results to try to figure out who the favorite is in a Little League tournament. But, you know, Grosse Pointe, this exact league, won it last year. They won it fairly comfortably last year. They're a team that's there year after year and have been competitive year after year. So this is a big one. I think if you're going to handicap it, as you say, I think you have to consider Michigan the favorite to win this tournament. But I don't think there's any doubt that New Albany feels like they can win this game and win this tournament and go to the World Series for, what, the second time in 4 years, officially.
Greg Mengeld, sports editor of the News and Tribune. The other thing, and I try to mention this, and if you don't follow the Little League, and of course I only know this stuff because we cover the districts and the state tournaments now for a number of years, but sure. The crazy thing is that this likely, unless something really goes haywire for either one of these teams, this likely, no matter what the result is today, could be the championship game on Saturday, because if the loser is going to come back and play, I think, Friday evening, and then they would, if they win that game, they're going to play somebody likely that they've either already beaten or a team that's definitely not as good as they are on paper, at least, to get back to the championship game. And whoever loses this game, it's a one-game deal. So let's say New Albany wins and hadn't lost. Well, if they have to play Michigan again, it's a straight-up championship game, even though it's a double elimination bracket. Michigan would not have to beat them twice, and vice versa if New Albany loses today. So very interesting to see what happens. Likely this could be a preview of what we see again on Saturday if the loser of this game can get back there, as I think we would expect that they would. Pitch counts, another thing, if you don't follow it, I'm sure that if you've been watching ESPN and they do a good job of putting a graphic on the screen and breaking it down, but pitch counts are so involved in, I guess, really the outcome of the game. It depends on your pitching that you've got available and who you had to use in the last game, and so that could play a factor and a difference from a game today and a difference on a game Saturday. But it's going to be an interesting deal. I think New Albany will get a challenge, and I think this will tell them about where they're at in their quest to try to go to Williamsport.
Yeah, that's exactly why this is a big game today. As you said, chances are these two teams play each other again Saturday, although, you know, both games that New Albany played the first two games were pretty competitive. I think a couple of errors were the difference against Ohio. So while it's not assured, I think that's probably the case that it will be Michigan and New Albany on Saturday. But if you win today, you're almost assured to have every pitcher that you have available for you Saturday.
Yeah.
If you don't win today, you're probably going to have to use your best pitcher on Friday to try to get to the championship game. And so you're talking about having your ace against another team's second or third best pitcher. So that can be a really big deal. Who wins today's game could end up being a huge factor in what happens Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, I think Bowling Green, Kentucky, a few years ago, they were in a very similar situation. They lost this game, and they rolled the dice in their Friday game. They pitched, you know, not their top one or two guys, and were able to barely win and then get back to the championship game with their best pitching available, and they went on to Williamsport that year. I don't remember if that was last year or the year. Well, it had to be 2 years ago, I believe.
2 years ago, yeah.
So interesting. A lot of strategy for these coaches. We'll have Brian Jackson, the manager of New Albany Little League, on with us tomorrow. But more than anything, the best part of all this is the community support.
Yeah, and Brian Jackson, by the way, has done a great job with this team. It's typically a one-year thing. You're with the group for a long time. As we talked about before, I'm not sure there were a lot of expectations for this group after not even winning the district last year. But, man, he's done a great job and put them in really good position. And also, what does this say about Jeff JRC? Are they one of the best teams in the nation, too?
Yeah,
that's
a good
point. I think you have to say that they are. They were.
Absolutely. Greg Mengeld, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, we've been talking some high school football now for a couple weeks. That season is drawing very, very close. Scrimmages are this Friday. Kickoffs are the following Friday in the regular season. We've got all the coaches and top players tonight at Zaxby's in New Albany for our kickoff show at 7 o'clock. I look forward to taking some of the chatter that you and I have had and hearing directly from the coaches to get maybe even a clearer picture about what the upcoming season should look like or could look like. Just glad to know that high school sports are just about back in business here in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, girls golf has already started. Like you said, football scrimmage is Friday. If New Albany doesn't play, I'll be out at Charlestown Floyd Central scrimmage. So we'll have someone at New Albany East Central as well. New Albany facing the defending state champion. So that'll be interesting to see where they stack up, because that could be a pretty good team at New Albany. We've done three previews so far. The third one will be tomorrow. Will be Silver Creek. Today is Charlestown. And I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, but this year, I don't know, except for Providence, if there are any teams that they have super high expectations for, but there are a lot of teams with some promise, I think. A lot of teams that could compete for things, including Silver Creek and Charlestown, who play each other in week one, I think are both going to be really good. Both will be in the top three or four in the Mid-Southern Conference. I think New Albany, again, Providence. It's going to be it's one of the most mysterious seasons that we're entering in a while after losing a lot of players. But I have a feeling we're going to see some surprises as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. High school football here. A couple commitments I mentioned earlier in the show. Adam Spaulding, Floyd Central baseball to Bellarmine. Lily Bivens, Providence volleyball to Nichols State. I'm just amazed, and maybe it's just that we're proud of our high school sports, but I'm amazed at the number of players, the number of college commitments. We'll say Division I, we'll say Division II. You can include any level of college sports that are out there, and I know there's a lot of different opportunities, but I am just amazed at the number of players we have from this area that commit to Division I and Division II schools.
Yeah, especially those two sports. I mean, you're talking about volleyball and baseball have been incredible the last half decade, even more so than the past. So, the volleyball, I mean, we've just seen player after player be recruited by the top programs in the nation, including Penn State, Purdue, Kentucky. Baseball, same way, Louisville, Indiana. It's been unbelievable with those two sports in particular. And last year's senior class was special. I mean, really special. And this year's junior class, I think, probably isn't quite on that level, but just every sport just loaded through this area. And it's really exciting to see. And, of course, we've got some really good seniors this year, too, including Kobe Barnes, who drew a lot of eyes at the Battle of the Bridges. It's really improved. It's going to be a fun basketball season, too.
Absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He is headed to Indianapolis, to Westfield, to Grand Park for the Little League game today. Follow him at NewsTribScores on Twitter for updates. And, of course, you can read their high school football previews and more at newsandtribune.com/sports. Greg, take in the game. Root our New Albany Little League team on the best you can while not getting kicked out of the press box. And we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, I'll see you tonight. Thanks, Matt.
All right, don't forget Zaxby's Kickoff Show tonight, Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. It's the perfect place to come by and grab dinner. We'll be at Zaxby's in New Albany, right at the intersection of I-265 and Charlestown Road, 2870 Technology Avenue. That's the address. The show begins at 7 o'clock. Lee Kelly will be with me. We'll start with Jeffersonville in 6A. We'll go to New Albany, Floyd Central, Silver Creek, Charlestown, Clarksville, Providence, and Rock Creek in that order as we work from 6A down to 1A and get you all set for the 2018 high school football season in Southern Indiana. We are excited to hear from all these coaches. The coaches will be bringing players as well. Most of them will, at least, and we look forward to hearing their story as well about their expectations for the upcoming season and to how the summer months went, those grueling summer months in high school football to get ready for the upcoming season. Join us tonight. If you can't make it out to have dinner with us, just tune us in on the Big X, of course, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. We'll be streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. And, of course, we've got the mobile app as well, the TuneIn app. You can download it for free and listen to us on there. That'll wrap things up for today. Don't forget, all of our shows are podcasted on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. Just point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report to get all of our shows on demand. Until tonight at 7 o'clock when we have our Zaxby's kickoff show from New Albany location of Zaxby's, Matt Dennison saying have a great day, everybody.